This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to Manifestation Therapy, your trusted source for wisdom on the universal principles and the transformative magic integrating manifestation with the people that you support. I'm your host, Judy, and I'm thrilled to embark on this enlightening journey with you. In every episode, we'll unravel the timeless secrets of the universe, explore the art of conscious creation, and dive deep into manifestation therapy's incredible potential. Whether you're a seasoned practitioner or just starting your quest for a more abundant and fulfilling life for yourself and your clients, this podcast will support your growth, inspiration, and empowerment. So let's ignite the power within, align our thoughts with the energy we desire, and be our best potential. Welcome to Manifestation Therapy's podcast. Hi, this is Judy with Manifestation Therapy. Today's episode is a look at mindfulness and grounding. They're important skills to have, not only for mental health, but physical and emotional well-being also. Mindfulness is one of those words that some people are resisting these days because it's literally everywhere. I've even had clients say to me, "I don't want to do that mindfulness stuff." But in mental health, the statistics and research show that mindfulness works. It's an evidence-based practice for high-quality life improvement, peace, healthy mental outlook, as well as focus, expansion, growth, ability, even physical wellness. What does it mean, though, the word mindfulness? Most people talk about the need for awareness, or some will say connecting with their mind and body. Which mindfulness means is to be present in the present. That's the best definition that's ever been given to me, being present in the present. How do you get mindful? How do you practice mindfulness? There are so many different ways. It isn't all about yoga and meditation, although these are definitely good activities for finding mindfulness. Mindfulness is about being present in the present. So what makes you feel present? How do you go about feeling like you're connected to the present moment? How do you ground yourself? It's about getting out of the past and away from the future, to just focus on the current moment, the now. There is power in being present. In the past, we feel regret or resentment. We long for happier times. In the future, we feel excitement or fear or hope. But in the present moment, we're okay. I worked with a lot of rural men and women for many years. At times, I would encourage some that they may find benefit in meditation and yoga, but others literally would have got up and walked out of my office if I made the same suggestions. So instead, I asked them what they enjoyed, how they felt present. Some would instantly light up and talk to me about what made them feel most calm, grounded, neutral. For many things, it might have been working in the yard, or boats, or going fishing, or kayaking, working in the garden. Some it was about caring for their flowers and their vegetables, or their livestock. Some it was about reading stories to their children or grandchildren, baking, cooking, or some it was even doing household chores. There are actually endless possibilities, and it can be very unique to the individual as to what activities can connect with mindfulness. As supportive professionals, we need to have our own mindful practices. This is so important, not only for our own success, mindset, and mental health, but also because in sessions it can be very vital to find mindfulness in moments that we may be experiencing countertransference with biases, judgments, or a need to project our own stuff or direct clients' path with their own personal experiences or goals, as opposed to allowing them their own time and space. So we need even more mindfulness practices as supportive professionals. Those that we find time to do on a daily basis to excel at what we do. Those that we practice daily to find harmony, balance, and abundance in our bodies, minds, and lives. We're also manifesting our own reality. We need mindfulness practices before, during sessions, and afterwards. Before sessions help us ground ourselves in preparation for our clients. During sessions to create safe space for the clients to process their own paths. And afterwards, so that we do not carry the client's energy forward into our own mind, body, or daily experience. So let's explore that a little bit more. I mentioned we need to find mindfulness to ground ourselves in preparation for our clients. Sometimes I see quite a few clients in a row, but I try to always put about 10 to 15 minutes between each. During this time, I do notes, set up appointments, but I also make sure I have time to do some mindful self-care. I'm not talking about just taking a bathroom break or grabbing a snack, but sometimes that's necessary too. I might have a sip or two of water and do it very mindful. Experience what the cup or the bottle feels like in my fingertips. Take a drink, explore the flavor, the temperature, the emotion that connects to the drinking. I might take a few moments to stretch or put some lotion on my hands. Experience the touch, the relief, the feeling of the soothing act. I might really smell the lotion or maybe even burn some sage. Experience the temperature of whatever it is in the room or whatever I'm doing. So those are just a couple examples. At times, it's more about the movement, so getting up and stretching, doing sun salutations, or taking in some deep breaths and grounding myself in the chair. Sometimes I even do a meditation or a visualization between a session. Just a couple minutes can really help. But during a session, it's very different. You have to be connected with your client. You can't just disconnect. And while a client may be processing some stuff, it's important to be actively listening. So this means we are not only hearing them, but listening to what they are saying and instantaneously making the connections to what they have previously told us. We validate their emotion, mirror their body language or tone, and repeat back to them the meaning we are getting from their words in whatever way we feel right in the moment to validate. This is all part of being a good therapist, helping professional, or coach. It's part of our skill set. During this, many things may be simultaneously happening, including responses within our own bodies and minds. As the woman mentions a nasty comment about her husband or what he said to her, we may instantly feel frustrated or have anger towards her husband or defensiveness towards her. We may want to connect to a feeling of anger or justice within the woman's experience. But what if she feels he was entitled to the comment and she isn't angry at all, but is instead feeling guilty or shameful that she may have hurt him earlier that day with something she herself had said that he was later reacting to? Then if we call on her anger, we're projecting our own beliefs and biases into her experience. Why do we feel she needs to react to this situation with anger or seek justice? What is coming up for us? So we're experiencing our own stuff in that situation, not theirs. We need to be mindful. We need to be quickly able to connect with what is happening in our body, what the urge to control is doing, and then we need to be able to release it. We can return to this later when we have a chance to debrief or in that 10 minutes between our next client or much later when we can journal about it. It's not the time to completely analyze it now. Eventually, skilled individuals will be able to do this in milliseconds. If we are new to it, it's simply enough to acknowledge that the emotion, body experience, and desire to control or interject, to project, is not about the client, but it's about our own stuff. The awareness is what's important. We have to always return to being present for the client as fast as possible. It happens so quick with me that I don't think there's even much of a disconnect anymore. returning to active listening, accepting and releasing whatever we are experiencing within the shared goal of supporting the individual we are working with in processing, healing, and achieving their best potential. It's not about us, it's about them. And their best potential may not be our definition of success. You can do this quickly by focusing on one of your five senses in the moment. I wear bracelets that carry scent sometimes, or just the bracelet themselves. So if it's with scent, I will inhale the soft scent to kind of bring me back, or I might touch just to feel how it feels in my fingertips. Other people may wear rings that they can touch to reground, or simply have something to focus on in the room that their eyes can go to remind them, with a color that represents grounding. You can hear what the individual is saying and the other sounds in the background to bring yourself back as well. Any of the five senses work. Do whatever you need to do. Do what resonates best for grounding for you. The human experience is about connection, integration, and development. After the client has left is when you may be still carrying some of their energy. Their story may be resonating with you, or their emotional release. You need to let this go for further mindfulness. Self-care with snacks, a drink, movement, a meditation, a visualization, step outside and get some fresh air, whatever you need to do to release whatever they've given you. Allow yourself to free up from whatever you've just been through in support in hearing the client's story. Sometimes it can be heavy. Teaching mindfulness is done within sessions, but also outside of them. I always give my clients homework that is not about writing out long papers or filling out copious amounts of worksheets, but more about being active in mindfulness, self-care, or positive mindset shifting. I tell them to be mindful when they're driving, mindful when they're drinking or eating, mindful when they're trying to go to sleep, mindful when they're with others. Mindfulness can be suggesting they find their spiritual connections outside by really allowing themselves to enjoy the outdoors when they are in them. Another option is to have these same individuals experience mindfulness through just being aware of what they are doing, making the connections between thoughts, emotion, and experience instead of disassociating. Meaning, if they're doing something they're typically resistant to, like, let's say, making a public speech, they may be thinking they don't want to do it, or they will be judged. Their feeling is fear, anxiety, embarrassment. They may notice that as they talk about the situation coming up, they tense up. Their hands get start to fidget. Their foot begins to bounce with anxiety, you know, that knee bouncing. They can begin to be aware that when they are feeling the emotion, it connects in their body with the act of that knee bouncing. But even deeper, that feeling of tension. Maybe a flutter of anxiety happens in their stomach, tension in their shoulders. Maybe they lower their eyes or feel their heart rate increase. Their face turns red. Their thoughts are directing the emotion that releases into their body response. Exploring this can be done with positives just as much as negatives. It builds on awareness and mindfulness. One of the big ones for women who are mothers, in a positive way, of course, not mother who's struggling with loss, but is to have them picture when they last peacefully snuggled their child or the first time they held their infant. The instant emotion that the mother gets is often so obvious. They will smile or take a deep breath. They sigh. Maybe their eyes mist up instantly with tears of gratitude, or they visibly relax. Connecting that positive thought of, I am grateful to have my child, into the emotions of gratitude, love, abundance, with the feelings they are experiencing in their body can be really beneficial, and it's a very powerful exercise to do for them to instantly see the connection or feel the connection. For some, it may be other thoughts, such as a graduation or an achievement like getting a license, getting married, taking a trip, conquering a goal, being with family. All of these can draw out similar body experiences and emotional release. Once it was a man who caught a big fish. Exploring your client's personality and background gives you great hints into the events that may be possible to activate this connection of awareness in their thoughts, emotions, and the connected internal-external experiences of body, and behavior. This mindful awareness can be taken a step further into the connection of what these experiences provide them with externally as well. So when they are thinking and feeling these positive thoughts, emotions, and body experiences, do they notice how they are better able to handle when their children are being frustratingly oblivious to the directions and tasks they are giving them? Are they better able to handle the bickering between themselves and their spouse when they remember that feeling of love on their wedding day? If they consider their achievements, their abilities to reach goals, does it support their anxiety when meeting tasks at work and dealing with imposter syndrome or challenging coworkers? It's all about the law of relativity. Rather, if they focus on the negative thoughts, emotions, or body connections when they face the same issues, does the negative emotion spiral, their thought patterns worsen, and their body response turn into a reaction of stress and physical illness or aggression? The outlet becomes bigger and louder when the emotion does. Being mindful that this is energy at work, that it's a cycle as stated with the law of rhythm, can really help to build on a client's ability to find benefits in mindfulness. As professionals, we recognize that energy at play can direct our clients to, if not recognize that it is energy, at least recognize the benefit of seeing the connection between their internal process and external reality. Supporting our clients to become mindful and aware supports the manifestation process in reaching the goals and making what they envision a reality. I hope you have enjoyed this chat on mindfulness. Don't forget to like and share and follow me on Instagram at Manifestation Therapy with no spaces. Or check out my other social media and webpage. I'm on TikTok at Manifestation_Therapy, and Facebook has a community page for Manifestation Therapy. Just to say it again, www.manifestationtherapy.com. Have a fabulous long weekend. I know I'm going to. And be your best potential with the universal principles in supportive practice. This has been Judy.